You're listening to Cinematic Adventures, proud member of the Misfit Faction Media Network.
Good morning, Vietnam!
I love the smell of napalm in the morning.
You're gonna need a bigger boat.
I feel the need for speed.
Roads, we're going, we don't need roads.
Snakes, why did it have to be snakes?
Vices? We don't need no vices. I don't have to show you any stinking vices.
You make me want to be a better man.
Nobody puts baby in a corner.
I wish I knew how to quit you.
Love means never having to say you're sorry.
He's looking at you, kid.
Not bad. I'm just drawn that way.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Cinematic Adventures. Don't forget, if you guys are listening to us on the go, you can find us on Podbean, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, iHeartRadio, basically anywhere you get your podcasts. You can also find more of our content on our website, themisfitfaction.com. There you find links to not only this show, but some of our other shows like MF Uncensored, if you're looking for topics and interviews, or the Multiverse Fancast, if you're looking for all things superhero. As always, I'm one of your hosts, Paul. With me in the studio, physically in the studio for the first time in so long, is Sean. Sean, how are you today?
I am wonderful, Paul, and I gotta say, the studio looks wonderful.
So, I mentioned it on Multiverse that one of the reasons that we've been kind of hectic with our schedule is because, yes, we were renovating our home and that included the podcast studio. Sean and I don't live together, and I should have prefaced that, but...
There was that one time.
Where all three of us lived in the same house and didn't do a single podcast episode. But
together,
anyway.
You and Ronnie did.
We did one. Maybe two at the most. Okay. But yeah, so the podcast studio has been redone. I did post a picture of it on our story on Instagram, so make sure you guys check that out. I'll do like a full post when it's all done. But also, via the Zoom studio, if you guys are a fan of Magic the Gathering, YouTube, or you're just looking at your mom's diary and you happen to see this guy's name, it's Brendan, a.k.a. BlindBat8719. Brendan, how are you today?
I am doing well. Thank you very much for that introduction.
I thought you would appreciate it. You know, I'm just here to make our guests feel really, really welcome, despite the fact that...
I would be highly surprised if my name was found in some mom's diary.
Well, I mean, it's in my diary, so that's close enough.
Dear journal.
Okay.
It's a journal, not a diary.
All right, Doug.
Yep. All right, this episode's going off the rails quick. All right, so it is, at the time of release, it is May. And as per our, this is our third year.
Seriously, I thought about that too.
This is our third year, over 100 episodes. We do our Star Wars month every May. Because obviously, for those of you guys who aren't aware, May 4th is considered International Star Wars Day. May the 4th be with you. And then I think it's Revenge of the 5th. And then the six straight back or something like that.
I never heard of the six straight.
There is a six one. Yeah, there's a six one. But so what we're going to be doing is now we're finally at the newer trilogy, the modern trilogy. I don't even know
the sequel,
the shitty Disney trilogy.
I like the Disney trilogy.
The Disney trilogy does sound pretty good, but
PG.
That's our show, Brendan. How dare you? If I wanted to talk about Magic the Gathering, you could have an opinion. By the way, tell everybody what you do, Brendan, for those of you guys who don't know.
Oh, yeah. So I am a content creator for Magic the Gathering on YouTube. There's a format there called Historic Brawl and Brawl that I build decks with the magic cards that you find in the game. Specifically, the format is Magic Arena. That's where you can find on the iTunes or on your computer or on the Android app. And I like having fun building wacky decks around some legendary monsters in the game. And yeah, so I have a channel on YouTube at BlindBat8719. I'm trying to think if there was anything asked past that.
Did you forget your own channel?
It's BlindBat8719. Just Google that, search for that on YouTube, and go ahead and watch a few videos and drop a comment and a like that you found me through the podcast.
And also, if you guys just go to our website, themisfitfaction.com, Brendan is on our affiliates page, so make sure you guys check that out too. So, woo-hoo indeed, my friend. So, we're going to start off, though, with some basic news. We got a couple of movie things, I think.
We do.
Go for it, Sean.
Oh, thank you, Paul. I really appreciate it.
I tried to segue you in, but you were so excited.
I was.
I loved it.
Well, obviously, it's May, and, you know, it's Star Wars month, so obviously
it's
going to
be May. Sorry. I'm so sorry. I'll turn my microphone off. Go ahead.
Well, first bit of news is semi-Star Wars related. Carrie Fisher will receive a Hollywood Walk of Fame star posthumously, obviously. That is awesome here. And she's going to be getting it on May the 4th.
Oh, I love it. That's awesome.
That is awesome.
So that is excellent, and it's going to be, I'm hoping, you know, Mark Hamill will be there, and George Lucas, and a bunch of her friends, and her, obviously her family. So, you know, that is long overdue, sadly, that she's no longer with us, but great news to hear. I found this interesting, Paul. So it came out a couple days ago. Steven Spielberg regrets censoring the 20th anniversary of E.T. Did you see E.T. when they re-released it?
Where they took out the guns?
They took out the guns and put in walkie-talkies, and they dubbed the line where at Halloween when he dresses as a terrorist and she says you can't go out as a hippie. So now he comes out and says he regrets it. No film should be revised for modern ideals. I can, you know, I've been saying that forever.
I can get behind that. I will. There are some films like what did we just talk about that we had to? Oh, Harold and Kumar.
Well, Harold and Kumar, but that's.
But like, I never want to. There's something about such a classic film like E.T. where it's the two things that nobody ever noticed, like nobody cared about.
Yeah.
And I still think that the shot of them going over like the guys with the guns, I never looked at the guns.
No, you're looking at the bikes.
But it was way more jarring in the remake of it, or the re-release, where it's kind of like when we talked about A New Hope, and the CGI aspects were very jarring because they were very out of place. It's something like that. Like, you can tell that there's something wrong with the shot.
Yeah.
Your mind just kind of goes to that change. And E.T.'s just one of those movies, man. Like, just leave it alone.
I agree. I totally agree. But I just found that interesting that he's actually coming out and saying that he regrets doing that. Because that was a big thing.
Yeah.
Because he was standing by that decision back when it happened. Because this was 2002. This was right after 9/11. So obviously the country was going through a lot. So, you know, just any way they were looking to like bring a little more, you know, less violence into the, you know, film.
I mean,
but there really was never any like.
Also, my challenge is if you're the kid on the bike and it's just a guy with a walkie-talkie, I keep going.
Well, like, that too.
What is that guy gonna do? Call for help?
Well, yeah. No, you're right.
I see a guy with a shotgun racked. I'm gonna be like, I want to fly away, please.
It's like E.T.
E.T. up.
Up, 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 please, please, please.
Well, again, I think it's a little bit too, is like he's remembering that like once a piece of art is open to the public, it no longer becomes the property of the author or the creator, in a sense, to do with it as they will. That's why I think a lot of people had issues with Lucas initially, again, when he made those changes to A New Hope and to the original trilogy. It's like, but why? Like, there was no need for it. Yes, you're the creator, you could do what you want, but we've kind of already taken over for it, you know, so you should leave it alone.
It's like Han. It's like Han shooting first.
Yeah.
Like, we didn't care. It made him more of a good guy and likable. I was like, no, the three films that he was in made him a likable good guy.
Yeah.
I want to see the scoundrel. I want to see the space pirate. Go ahead, Brian.
And it will also, too, again, like, him shooting. Like, I think as a kid, we all understood the idea that he's maybe a bad person, and you know, and that's what that's his role is. And then he changes. It helps sell the change. But I think we are probably pushing a little too, getting off topic a little bit.
No. I think it's similar in what happened. But I mean, I think it's a different reasoning of why Spielberg did what he did versus what Lucas did. Lucas always felt that he didn't have, obviously, the visual effects necessary to bring everything he wanted to bring to the screen. Mm-hmm. But what Spielberg did, I think, was more of just a kind of a temperature of the world.
It was a reaction.
It was a reaction to what was going on in the world. But so, interesting. I thought that was interesting. We also have Michael Shannon coming out saying that he only returned for The Flash because he got Zack Snyder's blessing.
Did you see the new Flash trailer?
I tried, and it kept freezing on me.
Really? We got to watch that when you're done.
Okay.
But
you have Mr. Cold near the room or something like that?
Yeah, something like that. Mr. Dr. Freeze Cold. My old foe.
No, isn't that? Oh, Captain Cold.
It's
that's
okay.
That's why I kept freezing.
This isn't the Multiverse Fan Cast. I won't call you out. God, this guy doesn't know what he's doing. Oh, that was weird. But yeah, so apparently it's weird. Like, even the like, I know that there's a huge fandom around Zack Snyder, myself included, to a point. Like, I will never be like, everything he does is perfection. I recognize Zack Snyder's faults as a filmmaker, even though I really do love his work and I love his style. But like, it's weird. He's very James Gunn in that regards, where the actors who work with him are very just protective.
Well, it's also, Michael Shannon came out and said, it's like what happened to him in terms of how he like just everything that happened with Warner Brothers was just absolute BS.
Yeah.
And he said, I'll never play Zod again or never do another DC movie. But, you know, The Flash, obviously, the filmmakers came to him and said, we really want you to do this. And Zack Snyder, to his credit...
Zack Snyder's been very supportive of everything.
Yeah. Zack Snyder, to his credit, he was like, no, man, you should do it.
Do it, yeah.
It'll make the movie good.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently, everybody's, well, again, you know, they've said good things about DC movies before, and then what happens? So we'll see how this movie's going to actually turn out. But
yeah, we're going to do a... We're planning something very big for this movie.
You're planning something very big?
Planning something very big for
this. By just you?
No.
Oh, so Ronnie?
No, and more.
Oh, and more.
Yeah, you can be invited too.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. Oh, I appreciate that. Thank you.
Brennan, you might be invited too for that.
Ooh, nice.
Well, apparently we are having a roundtable discussion. I'll talk about it later.
Oh, here we go.
But yeah, we are planning something for The Flash.
All right. Just one more. Super Mario Brothers is crossing the $1 billion global box office.
They are
going to
make such a sequel from it. For
absolutely. Wario.
I can see Wario. And I want to see... I haven't seen the movie yet, but I know that one minor gripe that people have is that Mario and Luigi don't spend a whole lot of time together in it.
No, but I don't have a problem with it.
You don't have a problem with it?
I don't have a problem with it. Just, I saw it. I was.
I'll have to
I
see actually, to make an opinion on that.
Yeah, okay. It was very good. I recommend it, and I was probably the most vocal about it. I just had really no interest in seeing it, but the animation was literally like watching a video game come to life.
Yeah,
you know, it was.
So it's Illumination Studios.
It's Illumination. They do a very good job with the animation that they do, and the voice actors all did a good job. So I highly recommend it. But yeah, that's about it for the news, Paul.
All right, so let's time travel back to a simpler time.
Simpler time.
The early 2010s.
Mm.
Now, news...
That was 11 years ago.
I know, we don't need to talk about it. Now, news broke. Let's start with this part. News broke that Lucasfilm was being purchased, and being purchased for $4 billion by Disney. Sean, what were your initial thoughts on that?
I remember that day looking at IMDb and seeing that Disney was buying Lucasfilm, and I will stand by this. I was not that happy about it because I could tell right off the bat. I was like, we're going to get more movies, but are they going to be any good? Is George Lucas going to be involved in this? You know, what are we going to get here? They're going to dilute this to the bone.
Hmm. Was this before or after the Marvel acquisition?
This was after.
Okay.
Yeah, because so Marvel was back in 2000.
So it had to be after.
Disney bought Marvel after Iron Man and Hulk because they were released by Paramount, as I recall.
No. Marvel Studios released Iron Man.
But it was distributed by Paramount.
Yeah, and Universal did Incredible Hulk. They still have the rights.
I think Avengers was the first movie that was technically released by Disney.
The Disney banner, yeah.
But... Yeah, so Marvel, this was still a couple years after Marvel was purchased by Disney, and then this came out. And it's huge. I mean, this was, wow, like the Mouse House is now owning Star Wars and Indiana Jones, which a lot of people forget because it's under the Lucasfilm banner.
Oh, don't worry, we'll remember in a few months.
You are so down on this.
I am so down on that movie. But anyway, keep going.
It can only be better than Kingdom of the Crystal Skull.
No, I will not say that. I will not say that until I see that movie.
I will sit here right now, and I will guarantee it will be better than Kingdom of the Crystal Skull.
All right, you guys heard it here first. Sean thinks that this movie, Dial of Destiny,
will be better than Kingdom of the Crystal Skull.
All right.
That's all I'm putting my money down on. And if I'm wrong, I will quit the podcast.
I don't want you to quit the podcast. That's a
no.
Terrible...
Don't do that.
How about if you're wrong?
Quitting
just
the podcast and protest the movie is not.
I just want
be
to see
a follow
me.
How about just buy drinks or something? Like if I'm wrong, I'll buy dinner for you guys. Like we can work something else out.
Okay, just you and Brendan. I'll buy dinner for you guys if I'm wrong.
That's fine.
But you can't be just. Okay. You can't just say you hate it because you just want a free dinner.
Oh, that's fair. I'm still going to do it. But yes, keep going.
But yes, I was a little apprehensive on the idea of Disney owning Lucasfilm because I didn't know how well they were going to handle the movies and what they were going to do.
And it has been hit or miss.
Yeah. And I mean, it was a solid year before they announced any major projects. So it wasn't right off the bat. They were like, they just said movies will happen.
Yeah.
They didn't have any plan. They had nothing, you know, written down. They were just like, we are going to make more movies.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it was a shock. It really was a shock.
Brendan, what were your thoughts when Disney purchased Lucasfilm?
I don't think I really had thoughts one way or the other. I was like, oh, okay, cool. They're buying that. That's all right. That didn't really matter to me.
What an interesting podcast we're going to have.
No, I mean, some people.
No, I have opinions about the film. But like,
we're good. We're good.
These companies trade themselves. Why am I going to, like, all right, Disney bought, like, now again, when the House of Mouse, like, okay, yeah, now, like, now they have Fox. Okay, now they're getting a lot of the same stuff. Then it starts taking notice, but it's like, oh, it's only their second major acquisition. Why am I going to go nuts?
Yeah, at the time, right?
And
who knew?
Real quick, I don't recall there being any rumors that Lucas was looking to sell.
No, it was very out of the blue.
It was out of the blue. I mean, and it wasn't like he was also planning on doing any more projects. So I will say this, Disney gave us more Star Wars, whether you like it or not, because I honestly don't believe if he was going to do any more projects.
No, no. And plus, Star Wars has been 50-50 at this point.
Between the 9 films or including the TV?
Including, everything? Like, everything.
Everything? I think that's a fair... I think maybe 60-40 at best.
Yeah, oh yeah, arguably. But for me, like, first I was like, why? Like, why? Is this what we needed right now?
Sorry.
Go for it.
Another major thing that we didn't talk about, the theme park.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
That was huge.
I still need to go to that Star Wars themed hotel.
And that took a solid 8+ years
before they
did that.
I think my biggest issue with the whole acquisition was, first I was like, oh, wow, that's Disney money that they're going to be getting. That's not a bad thing. Disney money's not a bad thing. But then Disney is notorious for, this is how we want it. Enjoy it either way.
Yeah.
Like, this is our product. You're going to go watch it, but then it's also, here are all the other products that you have to enjoy in order to enjoy it. Like, you can't start season 3 of The Mandalorian, even if you watch seasons 1 and 2. You need to watch at least one episode of Boba Fett to understand what's happening in the beginning of season 3 of The Mandalorian.
That's not Disney's fault.
That is Disney's
fault. Well, I
was
thinking about some of that, and I think what happened ultimately is that they saw how Kevin Feige did so well with having his plan with how to do all the Marvel stuff. And that's where they're like, we're going to copy the Marvel formula since we own them as well.
But the problem is they copied the Marvel formula well after it's been established and done. Let's not forget the original Marvel formula was like 4 or 5 movies and then Avengers. That was it.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't, okay, we're going to do this show, movie.
It was start here and we have to end up at Avengers. That was the plan. Yeah.
And that's why for Star Wars, even though it was an established property, you needed to have a plan that honored that establishment already. Mm-hmm. Right, so 3 movies, that's it, a trilogy. Mm-hmm. They announced a trilogy, cool, we're good,
that was it. Yeah. I think they announced that theme park stuff was going to be happening right off the bat as well, as I recall, but no TV shows was not even
did they announce the other movies, because I thought the plan was to be like major Skywalker movie, different story, major Skywalker movie, different story.
I don't recall that.
Like Solo and...
Yeah, I don't recall
Rebel
that.
Rebel 1 came out that way?
They might have done it a little after the announcement, but right off the bat, like literally
that
in the announcement with the
saying.
Sale, they were like, new trilogy happening, theme park rides or something like
and
that.
And it was smart for them to be like, we're making a new trilogy. Okay.
Yeah. It's
what we expected now. Even though there's only been 2 trilogies beforehand, that's what we expected.
But I think a lot of people also were like, okay, Is George involved?
Is Mr. George here?
Because, I'm not...
That was a big question.
It was a question. But if you ask certain people, you might not want him involved.
Yeah.
You know?
So strange.
It's the Star Wars fandom, man. It really is weird.
All right. So we're going to just do initial thoughts on this film. Now, we're going to caveat this episode with the fact that we are just looking at The Force Awakens. As if this movie just came out. We have no knowledge of the shows, the movies, anything that follows. Just being objective to this particular film. Because, unfortunately... Unlike the first trilogy and most of the second trilogy, there are going to be differing opinions on the rest of the films. And unfortunately, I think Sean mentioned off air that some of the opinions on the second and third of this trilogy might affect the first. Mm-hmm. So we are going to look at this completely objectively from just this film's point of view. So I'll start while everybody else gathers their thoughts. And for me, I love this film. I thoroughly, thoroughly, thoroughly enjoy it. It was a pleasant surprise. It was better than I expected it to be. There are still moments of this film that catch me, and I'm like, oh, God, I love it. And, you know, the new characters worked really well with the older characters. The older characters fell right back into it. It was Harrison Ford was trying in this movie. And that's not a dig, but that's just like as actors get older, Bruce Willis was a good example. Like, he just was doing it. Like, here's my movie. And
what's the term? going with the motions.
Yeah, going through
phoning
the motions.
Going through the motions.
Phoning it in. But Harrison Ford, there is one line in this movie that always gets me, and it's when he's like, when Finn's like, "We'll use the Force." He's like, "That's not how the Force works." And he just emotes the shit out of it. And it's just, it's so, it's like, that's Han Solo. That is Han Solo completely. The guy who didn't believe in the Force 40 years ago is like, "Yo, I've seen some things, man." So for me, this movie, it is just such a good time, and it hits right. If this movie had been it, I would have been okay, with the exception of the very last scene. If they had ended with just, if they had just been like, "Well, we're done," and it was just like that last shot of her handing the lightsaber, oh, that would have been bad. All right, Sean, initial thoughts, hit it.
I pretty much agree with what you just said there. I will say that I feel this movie is a somewhat of a remake of A New Hope in a way. It's
does it help that Han Solo actually points out, like, they're like, "It's bigger than the Death Star." He's like, "So what? It's bigger. It's the same thing."
Yeah, it's very similar story arc, very similar storyline.
Homage.
It's an homage, but that's probably my only gripe. Mm-hmm. I do enjoy the new characters in this movie. I think Rey is a breath of fresh air into the universe of Star Wars.
I think she's very gorgeous, good. Too.
The whole notion of a stormtrooper that becomes a good guy. First of all, we've never seen a stormtrooper without his mask off. Mm-hmm. So that was an interesting, you know, way of doing that. And then the Poe character is basically the Han Solo of this trilogy. And I think Oscar Isaac is a very good, very accomplished actor. And I think
they were supposed to kill him. He was supposed to be done after the opening scene. But the fan reaction was like, the test audiences loved him so much that they actually reshot him in.
Oh, I didn't know that.
That's why there's so many scenes of him just like, you know, with Finn, and then like one of him addressing everyone.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, good to know.
You're welcome.
Well, thank you. But yeah, no, it's obviously the return of, you know, the old characters is great, and it just kind of feels right, you know, to see where they have. I'm not the biggest fan of Kylo Ren in the movie, just because, again, it's Darth Vader.
This was actually him at his best.
It's, which is saying something.
There's the one scene, and we'll talk favorite scenes, but I'm going to say this one, where the two stormtroopers are walking around the corner and he's throwing a temper tantrum and they just look at each other and they turn around and walk away.
And isn't Daniel Craig one of the stormtroopers in the movie?
He's the one that's interrogating, or that's like she uses the force trick
that's
on.
What it was. Okay.
Yeah. All right, Brendan, initial thoughts on this film?
Going back to when I first saw it, I was very happy with it. I've a lot of the same things you guys said. I very much saw how much they lifted A New Hope and Presley repurposed it and put it in here. And they just changed a few things here and there. Instead of saving a princess or saving a rebel leader or something like that with Poe. I had a good time with the movie. And I was excited to see where else things were going to go. I thought the characters were fine, or they're interesting. I think in a good way, the characters are interesting. Like you were saying, it brought up again. We've never seen a rebel star trooper, you know, come, you know, rebel and whatnot. So that was an interesting thing. Rey is different, you know, but it very much, I feel like a surrogate Luke Skywalker character. So I think I did an okay job. Well, initially when I first saw it, I thought they did a good job of kind of taking the archetypes that they had established in the Star Wars universe that they've been created, and then just playing with it a little bit. If you happen to be a Naruto fan, it's kind of the same thing, where every generation has the same three characters. Mm-hmm. You just change who's doing which role.
That's fair. All right, so with that, we are going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we are talking characters, new and old, as well as favorite plot points, favorite scenes, and things we don't like. But first, a quick break. Hey guys, it's Paul, and the Misfit Faction is looking for your help. We are trying to grow not only our network, but also grow our brands. And the best way to do that is if you guys are looking to start your very own podcast. Maybe you guys have been listening to us for a while. Maybe it's something you guys have always wanted to do, but you're not sure how to get started. If you go to podbean.com/misfitfaction, you guys will get a month of free podcasting on set as a gift from us. So make sure if you guys are looking to start your own show, you reach out to us and go to podbean.com/misfitfaction. Also, maybe you guys have your own online business or service. You're always looking to grow, and advertising is a very big part of that. If you guys go to sponsorship.podbean.com/misfitfaction, you guys can get $100 worth of free advertising, again, as a thank you from us to you guys. That's sponsorship.podbean.com/misfitfaction. All right, we are back. And first, we're going to talk some of our returning characters, because unfortunately the conversation is a little bit shorter with the returning characters on this one. The next movie, I will have a lot to say on the returning characters.
A lot?
A lot.
A lot.
A lot. Just drinking green milk and just being weird. Shut up, Luke. But anyway.
I thought we were not talking about the other movies.
He can't That's help why. Himself. He cannot help himself.
I'm hosting so I can talk about what I want. God. You could have hosted, Sean. You could have done it.
No, I'm good.
I know. But anyway. So let's first talk about probably the biggest one to come back, and the one with the most screen time of the returning characters is Han Solo.
Oh, this is a Han Solo movie. This is a Harrison Ford movie.
So they say that each one of these films, there's a character focus on one of the original characters. So in this one, it's Han Solo. The next one is Luke Skywalker. The following one was supposed to be Princess Leia. And to a point, it is, but it's not the original vision. But anyway.
But they were pretty cryptic about... Not cryptic, that's the wrong word. They were not really giving any hints as to what, because the trailer would show Luke and Han and Leia.
Yeah, it did not show Luke at all.
But we knew he was in it.
Yeah.
So, like, we're in the theater, like, when the frick is Luke going to show up? He's going to have this big moment. He's going to come in. He's going to basically, you know, do Mandalorian shit.
Oh my God, it's so good in the Mandalorian.
But never happened. That was my one gripe with this movie.
Can we just talk about how much money he got paid to take his freaking hood off?
Good for him.
You're right.
Good for him.
His hand is as it's a green screen hand.
My God, the amount of money he got to just turn dramatically.
It was a dramatic turn, though. It was great.
Oh, my God.
And just reaching. She's reaching after him, and he's just like... Got that, like, oh, shit's about to go down.
Not gonna lie, if Daisy Ridley reached out to me, I would have a line or two. Yeah. But anyway, so Han Solo's in this film, and Han Solo and Chewie, we'll put them together because, you know, unfortunately, say what you will about the following films, Chewie always worked better with Han Solo. He's fine in the other films to a point, but this is the movie where, like, the teaser trailer, the last shot was the two of them going into the Vulcan saying, Chewie, we're home.
Yeah.
Like, that, like, sold. When that trailer dropped, we were all like, okay, all right, we'll go see.
Well, that got a major cheer in the audience.
Oh, my God, it was huge.
The screen is black, and you just hear Chewie, we're home.
It's so good.
And let's also, the fact that they actually got Harrison Ford to come back.
Who's been notoriously difficult with Star Wars stuff.
Difficult's the wrong
word. Wanting to die since episode 5.
He's always been, he has never said a bad thing about Star
Wars. Never said
a
bad thing, but he's
he has clearly stated that he thought the character should have died
in Empire.
In Empire.
Yeah.
He felt that, because George Lucas is not keen on killing people.
No.
Because he was like, why am I going to kill these characters? These characters are cash cows. Like, I'm not going to do that. So that's all it was in terms of his, you know, thinking of Han Solo, but... It was a big thing that they got him back, and in more than just a cameo. Like,
oh yeah, he's a main character.
He's a main character.
Yeah,
and he has one of the most badass Han Solo moments when the base gets attacked, or like the hideaway gets attacked, and they're running out, and they're, come on, Chewie, let's go. And he does the famous no look shoot where he's looking to the left, shoots to his right, hits the guy, and just keeps going. I was like, oh my God, if there's anything more Han Solo, that is the moment. But again, he brings his A game. He brings emotion. He brings action. He brings everything that Han Solo, like when him and Carrie Fisher are on screen together too, like you could feel that chemistry there too.
Yes.
Brendan, what do you think about Han Solo, Harrison Ford in this one?
So I did see some of his scenes when I was rewatching half of the movie because before Zach interrupted me, I thought he would get very much Han Solo-esque. I liked him in the character in certain spots. Like when you first meet him and they're trying to figure out how to stop these two rival gangs from killing them. And that's like, I paid you. No, once. No, you forgot twice on the other side.
What was the second time?
Yeah, that was great. Yeah, no, I think the character was fine. I think on my rewatch, I had a lot more negative thoughts about this whole experience. So I'm trying to find the right time to put everything in. Harrison Ford was fine. Ultimately, though, I think in general with the older characters, I don't think they really had to be in here. I'm actually rereading the Wikipedia thing, and it's like, oh, 6, 7, and 8 of the Skywalker saga. And I'm like, maybe that's where the mistake came from, having in the first place, making it the Skywalker saga extension.
We'll talk about that.
He's got a point.
Having Han Solo back, he was fun. He had some good stuff. And, you know, it sets up the other family drama that you have in this thing, which, again, I think that's information that probably should have been saved for the second movie, at least. You know, even though we all would have seen it coming, it makes the other characters better that way.
All right, so next up we have Carrie Fisher as General Leia Organa. Now, she doesn't show up till well past the halfway point.
Yes.
And she's sparingly in it. Like, yeah. the only one of the new characters she interacts with is Rey.
I think that's
yeah. Oh, no, oh, no, and Finn and Poe. Oh, that's Finn right, Poe. I lied.
She has a bit of a, yeah.
But she's there, and again, you feel that emotional draw between the two of them, and it makes you wonder, like, what happened between the two of them, and that sets up what we get in the next film. But she's there. We'll talk more about her, I think, in the next film, though. But any thoughts on General Leia Organa that really warrant a discussion?
I mean, again, the fact that she has become the general and leader of the Resistance, which is great to see. And you find out later on, you know, what happens between her and Han and her and Luke. Just, I don't know about you guys, but it, obviously, I don't want to get into it as much, but it does it ruin the originals when you know what's going to happen to these characters? Like, would you prefer that they didn't make these movies and it just ended at Jedi?
So no. I like certain aspects. I like the fact that, so I think Brendan and I don't want to speak for you, Brendan, so I'm not sure. We're spoiled by some of the Star Wars Legends stuff. I don't know, Brendan, did you do the Star Wars Legends stuff?
I didn't. I really didn't read the books as much. I mean, I do know about the extended stuff, and I've heard of like Knights of the Republic. I think I played Taris Kassi. That was the other thing I really enjoyed playing back in the day. But just to count it, since I have the mic, and I'll keep rolling with it for a little bit. I don't think it's bad that we kind of find out, because I always feel like you want to know what happened to these characters at the end, and we kind of got that with these movies. And I know you're going to say I'm going to guess actually, Paul, that you know there were other books and other media that explored what happened to these characters afterwards. But there's always going to be a desire to know what happened. I'm going back to Naruto. Does he become Hokage? What happened to him and his family? I would love to see what happened with that. Am I totally happy with Boruto? We'll see about that. But I think so, Sean, I think people will always want to see what happened to these characters. So the fact that they decided to do these movies, I think, is a good thing. I think ending it on six would not have, people still would have wanted to see this.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, and that's evidenced by the Star Wars Legends stuff and the expanded universe. People wanted to know what was going on. And I think for me, I was actually very curious, like Han and Leia aren't together. Like they spent a movie and a half putting them together, like in a good way, in a very natural, organic way. And where's Luke? Like, what happened?
Yeah.
And I think that although we get some answers in this film,
there is a great scene with Han saying kind of what happened with Luke.
Oh, God.
Where he gives the backstory. Obviously, he doesn't mention that it's his son. But
also, like, know. Even having Han talk about the Force for the first time, he's like, it's true. Like, all of this. Again, it's really weird to think that in this Star Wars universe, all this stuff happens over the course of maybe
30 years.
Ish, right? But like, even in like from Revenge of the Sith to New Hope, people are like, the Jedi aren't real. But everybody knew the Jedi 14 minutes ago. So,
yeah.
But then you find out that the Empire actually propaganded that. They were like, this wasn't real. Like, it was all part of their thing. And they started banning people from talking about Jedi. And they killed, like, there's more to learn. And for me, I really like seeing some of our characters. Now, we won't talk too much about Luke Skywalker because he's the MacGuffin in this. Like, yeah. he's the thing they're trying to find.
Yeah.
And we'll talk more about him in the next film, because that's the Luke Skywalker one, whether we like it or not. So let's talk
Just real quick thing, to your point about, you know, it's all true, all of it. What I think that kind of reminds the audience and informs the audience is that what we've seen in these movies is just a small aspect of this entire galaxy or whatever, how big this whole universe is. So that people are like on a desert planet somewhere else, maybe like might have heard stories and it's a fable, Luke Skywalker and they're blowing up this rock. That's a myth or a fable that you're like, no, I was there. That's actually real. And
which is why I really like the idea that they propose in the next film where it's like, hey, it's like the legend of Luke Skywalker. Like, and he's like, it wasn't me. Like we'll talk about that because that's one of the very few things in the next movie that I actually do enjoy. I just didn't think it was written well. But yeah, like she freaks out at the fact that it's you're General Solo. This is the Millennium Falcon. Like, oh my God. Like she fangirls out. And it's wild to think, like, and now that I'm watching The Mandalorian, you kind of see how the Republic kind of went about it and it wasn't the best. But let's start talking about some of our new characters. So we'll start with Daisy Ridley as Rey, because she does become the main focus point of this entire series. I like Rey. And I like her in all the movies. She's never the weak point for me. I think the writing is the weak point for me. Daisy Ridley, she does a fantastic job. She's the mystery, right? Like, who is this person? Why is she... Like, Maz Kanata's like, who's the girl? Like, there's something special about her. And for me, I really enjoyed her. And people call her a Mary Sue. Like, you know, that kind of female archetype written character. I never really got that from her. She reminded me of all the badass ladies that we've seen in Medium. We see, you know, your Princess Leia's, your Xena's, your
Lara Croft.
Your Lara Croft's. Like, she didn't need to be rescued. She was saving Finn half the time.
Yeah. Oh, the great line is, "Will you stop taking my hand?"
I love it. And that's why Princess Leia was an icon, not because she was a sex symbol. I mean, obviously Return of the Jedi, the metal bikini. Well, you know,
Amidala.
Oh my God. Or Amidala, like same thing. They never overly, for the most part, they didn't overly sexualize these characters, but they made them badass, independent characters. And I just don't like how it ended with her. And I'm, even though, like, some people rolled their eyes that she's coming back for a film, I was like,
I'm interested.
And I want to see if they learned.
Yes.
She's not dead. Let's tell a better story.
I would hope. Now, again, the opinions on the shows differ, depends on who you ask. But we can all agree, I think the heart is there, and, you know, like the production value and all that stuff is there. The scripts seem to be all right. I'm hoping that with this new Rey film series that they'll get something going good, and, you know, Daisy Ridley can continue this character, because I'm interested in seeing where these characters go from beyond this trilogy. But I love the first time we see Rey in the movie. She's a scavenger. She's basically trying to steal parts from all of the, you know, broken down ships that have crashed.
I thought that was cool.
Planet.
Yeah, I thought that was cool.
She's living in a, you know, in a broken down walker. You know, she's surviving. She's a survivor. She is a badass. You know, she's beating up people. She comes across BB-8, and, you know, people are trying to steal it because they know that, you know, it's worth money. She's kicking their ass, and Finn is like, "Oh, I'm here to protect you," and he's like, and she's like, "I don't need your protection. Stop grabbing my hand. Stop helping me. I don't need your help.
The garbage will do."
Pretty much, she's a pilot. You know, she thinks she's a pilot. She is a pilot. So she's got that Luke Skywalker, you know, in her. And yeah, you're right. She's a mystery. We don't know what is she going to. What is she? Is she gonna be? She's gonna have the Force in her? Is she gonna be the long lost daughter of Luke Skywalker?
Obi-Wan Kenobi was the big theory. Everybody thought she was Obi-Wan's daughter.
Yeah. So it was. That was really interesting, and that was. I was very excited to see where that character was gonna go, and I thought she was great.
And the scene of her actually beating Kylo Ren is still fantastic.
Oh, absolutely.
There's a lot of grief to the lightsaber fights in this. I actually thought they made a lot of sense in this new trilogy. None of them were trained. And you look at all the Star Wars. So in the original trilogy, it's very like it's limited by the technology. Let's all be honest. The first movie especially. Then Empire comes out and it's much more aggressive.
Better.
But let's not forget Darth Vader is still half machine.
He's half machine, and he's also like, you know, 60 years old.
He's also not really trying to kill Luke. He's toying with him. It isn't until Luke actually catches him that he finally is like, "No, get out of here," and disarms him immediately.
Yeah.
Like, if you watch that fight, it isn't until Luke gets a lick in that he's like, "Bitch, not in my Cloud City." But then you watch the original trilogy where the Jedi are at their peak.
Yeah.
Like, the most powerful.
The prequel.
But, like, that's the peak Jedi. Yes, it's going to be fluid, and it's going to be very well choreographed, and it's going to be, you know, these are the seven Jedi lightsaber combat forms, which is a real thing. I'm a nerd.
Yes, it is.
But, and then you get to this one where it's more, we're just kind of doing what we think they still, even Luke Skywalker was like that, though. He's like, he didn't have formal training in lightsaber combat. What do you think? Yoda was like, "Hey, you want a lightsaber fight?" So for me, like, watching her beat Kylo Ren at the end is a very earned moment. What about you, Brendan? Thoughts on Rey? We don't know her last name in this movie.
No, we don't, actually. She's a very interesting character. Again, I think I very much grabbed right away that, okay, they're trying to make her out to be the Luke surrogate in this one. Like, again, I feel like each character is the new replacement of what old one was of the previous generation. So she is the new Skywalker, in air quotes, of what's supposed to be. And yeah, so she has a very similar background, again, with the scavenger stuff, but fun character. She did grow on me. I like her a little bit more, and I think it was good to have the capable female lead in the Star Wars thing and kind of taking that role a little bit from Leia from the previous one. Like, yeah, no real gripes with her per se. I am trying to, and like I said, I only got halfway through my rewatch. I am trying to remember the fight at the end with Kylo, because in my head, like, yeah, she has no training. She has no business winning that fight in theory then, you know?
Yeah. And she, like Finn, originally when we saw the trailer, we thought Finn was going to be that guy. Mm-hmm. Like he lights up the saber. He's using it in all the promo stuff. We'll talk about Finn in a second, but I really want to talk about Kylo Ren. Sean does not like Kylo Ren.
It's not that I don't like Kylo Ren. I just...
Kylo Ren was
an emo Darth Vader.
He really was. He does have some great moments though. When he catches the blaster bolt in the beginning.
Oh, that is a good scene.
That is bad.
And Oscar Isaac's just looking back on
He's like, wait, what?
They can do that now?
It's awesome. And I actually like his voice modulator.
Yeah.
I thought he sounded very dramatic, and it made sense because like he wants to sound like he looked better with the hood on. Mm. Once he took the hood off, I was like, that's a doofy looking helmet.
In terms of style points, I agree. Kylo Ren is stylish. You can say that he's emo Darth Vader, but again, if you're going to copy some ideas from stuff, why wouldn't there be people who are like, yeah, let me look fancy and whatnot? And again, the idea too, if they don't say who his lineage is, you know, I feel like you can then, because that was I remember my dad telling me when he went to see Star Wars, when Darth Vader first comes on screen in episode 4, you don't know what he is. Is he a human? Is he a robot? Is he a cyborg? Brother. So I think keeping that mystery would have been a lot nicer with Kylo, because you have the great character design. It looks freaking awesome. Again, like Darth Maul. Darth Maul looked freaking awesome. Why did he get rid of him so fast the first time? So I think, I think he's a good... force sensitive antagonist to have in your story if you're going to talk about copying the drum beats from the original trilogy.
I also really liked the cross guard lightsaber.
That was nice, yes.
Like that first trailer of him just lighting it up. I do think they should have waited till the very end of him on the bridge with Han Solo to show his face. I get why they did it when they did for storytelling purposes, but in all honesty, I think they should have waited till.
I do like Adam Driver. I think he's too. He's a very good actor, and
ironically enough, him and Harrison Ford have the one scene together, mm-hmm. and it is still such a great scene. Lighting with the sun going away and the darkness creeping down, and then finally the sun's gone, so he embraces the dark side. I do think, and we'll talk about this in the third movie, they have a tendency, like this is not something new. So I've been watching the show Gotham Knights, and I've been doing reviews for it on the website, shameless plug. But one of my main gripes with Gotham Knights is they have all these characters and they're trying so hard to make them good guys. Like, here's a bad thing that I did, but for the good reason, right? And this movie, like, he kills Han Solo. Mm-hmm. Then they try and make it okay two movies later.
Well, because basically it was Han sacrificing himself so Kylo could, go full.
They should have just...
be happy with himself or something.
No, it's because Kylo Ren got so popular, people wanted to see. They got to redeem him like Vader. Bro, make a bad guy just bad.
Yeah.
Like, I would have been okay if, like, he was the antagonist. Because in this movie, he's not. He is a henchman, a lackey for...
Well, so is Darth Vader, basically.
And that's the thing. This whole franchise would have been better if it was just... Like, in the second movie, I know we're not supposed to talk about it. But, like, if he had just taken over as Emperor. Mm-hmm. Like, if imagine Darth Vader is the Emperor instead. They did an actual story in the video game, the tie-in video game, where he beats Obi-Wan on Mustafar, and then he kills the Emperor and takes over.
Well, that was his plan from the get-go. He
says it to Padme.
Yeah.
He's like, yo, let's rule the galaxy.
He knows he's the most powerful person in the world.
Instead of just quit the Jedi Order, Anakin. But anyway, so for me, Kylo Ren was just, he was a good antagonist, and The shot of him lighting up that cross guard lightsaber in the snow, even though we don't see it in the actual film, is still like... Then him just like hitting his chest and like beating the crap out of Finn, who we'll talk about in a second. Like I liked him in this movie. I really, really did. Mm-hmm. So let's talk Finn. Finn was billed as almost the main character, even though he really wasn't. The story does... like the story revolves around him.
The story... kind of starts as if he is going to be the main guy.
And the events that happened because of him.
Yes.
And I thought it was a great idea to be like, hey, this is how stormtroopers were made. Mm-hmm. Instead of clones, this is what we did. We abducted... There was a whole lot of story that I really wanted to know. apparently, even in like the extended stuff, there's history between him and the guy who calls him a traitor and spins out the stun baton. I loved him in this movie. I really did enjoy it. This is our first time seeing John Boyega. That's his name?
Yeah. This was the first thing I ever saw Oscar. All three of them.
Big, yeah. So one of my favorite scenes is when Han Solo is like, oh, she's right behind you. And he's like, what are you doing with your face? What are you doing? What is this? What's this? He's like, look, you dummy. But I really like the idea and the shot of him with the blood on his helmet.
Yes.
Yeah.
Surprisingly dark for a Star Wars film. And they killed children.
Yeah, you're right. It was a brave idea because the whole notion of a stormtrooper that becomes a good guy, it just is something we never thought of.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, but because we were used to the clones from the prequel trilogy.
And then even in like the regular trilogy, they were just faceless soldiers. It's like you said.
Except for Gary the Stormtrooper.
That's a Robot Chicken reference. It is 500 degrees here. I can't hear a thing.
But I applauded them when they came up with that idea that they were going to take a Stormtrooper and have him be sort of...
Start questioning,
what is my purpose? Why am I doing what I'm doing? Like, people are being murdered in front of me, and I'm like, why?
And they do it well. Like, they do visual storytelling with him, with the blood, and also everybody starts firing, and he hesitates and he never fires a shot.
Yeah, he hesitates. You could see it on his body language, what he still has
which
the helmet
Kylo on. Picks up on.
Yep.
No, Phasma picks up on it.
Okay.
Yeah, and another character that they introduce in this movie, who they... keep taking her out in lame ways, Captain Phasma.
Captain Phasma.
Mm-hmm.
But Brendan, what are your thoughts on Finn in this film?
Echoing you guys, I think it's a great character choice in terms of, you know, again, having this guy rebel from the stormtroopers who's, you know, again, questioning his looks and whatnot. I do think at times he was a bit annoying, and I think that's probably because his goals doesn't really line up with the other characters. He just wants to get away as fast as he can. He's just looking at if this boat's leaving 2 minutes earlier, I'm on that boat. I'm not waiting for something else. So at times, you know, he's saying whatever he can to get away. So I'm with the rebellion. Yeah. I'm taking the droid away. No, I don't. I kind of thought he was really whiny at times. And the romantic thing they're trying to set up with Rey isn't a terrible idea, but it just, I feel like, makes him lose purpose. Like, come with me. Like, why should she go with you at all? You just want to leave, and you're just, you're the first pretty girl I've seen since I've decided to quit my job. I figure I'll just, you know, bring you along with me so I'm not by myself.
That just worked that way?
I think the character is nice. I just think at times, for my liking, he's a little annoying in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
But they do press on the whole that those two, Rey and Finn, are going to end up together.
No, it's going to be Finn and Poe Dameron. You know, there's a huge online following of their relationship. They have a big ship, which I've never.
I also feel like too with the character is I didn't know that Daisy Ridley and Boyega are British or at least have a non-American accent, and I'm like, you didn't need to make these characters have an American accent. Boyega easily could have used his accent, and I felt that would have added more, it would have been more interesting. It would have added more depth to the world a little bit. Because you could make the argument some of the characters they made were because they wanted to appeal to a modern demographic, you know, with ethnicity and gender and whatnot in certain lead roles. And so I'm like, well, then why not just let the guy use his regular accent? If, you know, his regular voice, then
they start
American
doing
accent.
They start doing that in some of the later films where people with accents just kind of talk. Like,
yeah,
I don't know.
Why not?
All right. So last person we're going to mention is Oscar Isaac as Poe Dameron. And the opening scene between him and Finn is fantastic.
That's very good. Yes.
Because it's the right thing to do. You need a pilot. I need a pilot. Like, it's just perfect. And I think it was a smart move to have them keep Poe Dameron, and also him and Finn have a really good dynamic in this film. And he's the Han Solo type, and I'm okay with it.
No, I'm okay with it.
I disagree.
It makes sense.
You disagree?
So Poe was my favorite character in this new series. I love him. He is cool. He's swaggy. He's awesome. He is not the Han Solo character in this trilogy. He is supposed to be the Leia Organa character. He is supposed to be the new rebellion leader. That's what his role is supposed to be. Finn is actually more the Han Solo character. Because really, you know, Han's like, I'm getting my money and getting out of here, and then had a change of heart and decided to save Luke. But he's in it for himself, which is what Finn is. He's there for himself. So Finn is supposed to be more the Han Solo character, I would say. Poe is our heroic, you know, the spark of the rebellion leads to the flame of the fire, or whatever that line is. So he's more the Organa character in this one, I'd say. And just to say again, my favorite character in this whole series.
Fine, Brennan. Whatever. No, I'm just kidding. But anyway, so those are the main new characters. We have some other characters we have Maz Kanata, played by Lupita Nyong'o.
Yeah. Well done.
Thank you. I did not practice, but I did. Andy Serkis as Supreme Leader Snoke. We get more of him in the next movie, so we'll talk a little bit more about him. Domhnall Gleeson as General Hux. Mm-hmm. And, of course, we have Anthony Daniels returning as C-3PO and R2-D2. Who plays
no,
R2?
No.
No?
Anthony Daniels is not R2.
No, no. I'm asking who plays
Kenny
R2.
Kenny Baker.
Thank you. I couldn't remember the name.
The way you said that is as Anthony Daniels was back as C-3PO.
You didn't let me finish the sentence.
Sure, okay.
You monster.
It's my fault.
They're not in this movie. They're barely in it. And even C-3PO is like, did you notice my red arm? There's a funny story behind that. That was in the extended material leading up to this film. Like, that's how you had to find out that one. And R2-D2 is literally useless. And we have BB-8, who becomes a mainstay of the series.
Thoughts on BB-8?
I thought he was a fun character. He was a good addition. When he does the thumbs up, I always laugh. But it's nice to see he had more he had a lot of personality to him.
Yeah.
Which made him memorable. And I like the ball, you know, like how he's a rolling ball for the most part. It works.
I don't know. It was R2-D2 all over again. Just a much more smoother and faster R2-D2.
He's a combination of R2-D2 and Baby Yoda.
Well, before Baby Yoda was even.
He was the original Baby Yoda.
That's fair.
That's fair.
Well, again, they had to put a droid character in there because, again, this is just copying A New Hope. So you had to have the droid that's trying to find its owner.
Yeah. True. You gotta have it. He was a MacGuffin, but I still like him. All right. Yeah. So, any favorite scenes or things that you did not like in this, Sean? Do you have a favorite scene or something you just didn't jive with you?
Didn't jive. Not so much in this movie. Mm-hmm. Like I said, this movie is pretty much from beginning to end enjoyable. Not many gripes. My favorite scene is probably going to be the death of Han Solo.
It's a great scene.
It's a great scene. It's up there with the Obi-Wan Darth Vader scene in New Hope.
Oh yeah,
it's just
Chewie's reaction.
Chewie's reaction is heartbreaking.
Yeah.
Leia's reaction is just, you know, like heartbreaking. Mm-hmm. It is, but it's so good. It's so good. And Harrison Ford finally got what he wanted.
Yeah.
You can see the happiness on his face.
And it worked, though. It really worked.
Oh, it was great.
Brendan, you got a favorite scene off the top of your head?
I think when Poe Dameron comes back and say, I think it's on when they're being invaded the first time by the First Order, and he comes back in his X-Wing and is like taking out like 5 or 10 guys in the air, and it's like, I totally forgot. I'm like, oh, okay, we're screwed. Like, he comes out of nowhere and saves her. I was like, yeah. Sorry for all the listeners.
No, that's fine. That's fine. It was great for us. For me, I'm going to say weird one. When they're running away from the First Order on Jakku, and they're like, we're going to take that ship. It's really good. And it blows up, and they're like, the trash will do. And they turn, and it's the freaking Millennium Falcon.
Yeah, that was a big deal.
Like that. And then the whole scene of him trying to figure out how the turrets work and like her flying. It's such a great, and the music.
Mm-hmm.
And then a close second is obviously the ending lightsaber fight for me. Anything else you want to jump in?
I will say, I do, you don't, because it's hard to attach it to what we know to happen. Mm-hmm. But I actually did enjoy the ending scene. I thought it made sense.
Which part?
When she finds Luke. Comes across Luke. What?
No, all right.
You're telling me.
Hold on. I will not say that I don't like it because of the following films. Mm. I don't like it because I'm a Luke Skywalker guy.
Okay.
And the fact that we waited for all that time for him to say nothing.
I agree. I hear you there. But you have to admit just the powerfulness of that scene where, like, this girl just pops out of nowhere. She's handing a lightsaber to him. And you could see on his face, he knows shit's about to go down. Like, obviously, again, I'm trying to...
No, I'm looking at it from just the movie.
I'm trying to look at it from just this movie.
Because I do remember, though, we were sitting in the theater and that happens. We're like, that's it?
We were annoyed, yeah. But it was still a good scene.
You're a good scene.
I am a good scene.
Brendan, any other...
I think the mystery there would have been better. And again, I think the idea that you're trying to get like, oh, Luke's like... Or you're having all three characters back, and you're like, no, you don't. You got an arm of Luke, and you got a little something, and it just felt like... I felt like a lot of times we're talking about some gripes, right? So I do feel like these are some interesting characters, Poe, Rey, and Finn, that just kind of had a rough story. They kind of got shoehorned into a remake of a story. This movie is just a remake of A New Hope, and I kind of feel like that's what you do when... You were like, okay, how do we get people to like our product? Well, let's use something that's already been done. As opposed to taking a risk and saying, here's a Star Wars movie for a new generation of Star Wars fans that has nothing to do with the Skywalker saga, or tangentially. Because it makes sense, the Skywalker saga with the six films, because you got Anakin Skywalker and Luke Skywalker. So unless somehow this is the illegitimate child of Luke Skywalker, Rey should have her own thing. It should not be a Skywalker story. This should just be Star Wars, A Force Awakens. Nothing to do with the Skywalkers. This is about, hey, now, you know something? There's no Jedi anymore. So all of a sudden, now the Force is like, we're going to pop out Force babies all over the place world right now. We happen to find one who happened to be a stormtrooper. We happen to find another one on a desert planet. And let's tell a different story that, we can still keep the idea of, like, there's an oppressive... a military force with a guy in a mask who does the same force stuff as Vader. We can keep some of those things, but I don't think we... Like, where... There's no returning bad guy villains. Like, we're talking about returning cast of characters. They're all on the good guy side. Because there's nobody on the bad side until the later movies. We're not talking about those. So if you want to talk about having something, nostalgia and whatnot, like, just get rid of the old character. Like, maybe you have Organa... have Leia be like the general somewhere, like, oh hey, you happen to run into, like, oh, it's General Organa, gonna speak, like something organic like that. But you happen to run into Han Solo, like, you're forcing them into this.
It's a small galaxy. Something...
I think that something should be something else with this movie. Like, I already said my gripe about Finn being annoying at times because get the girl, run away, and he doesn't want to be around here for the most part. But I felt like the try for the nostalgia was so strong that overshadowed a lot of the movie, especially on my rewatch. Like, going to the Katana scene, I'm like, oh, here we are again. We're in a bar with a band playing and a lot of weird aliens in here. Been there, done that. So why can't you guys do something different? All right, so instead of it being on the desert, it's on a foresty plain. Or forest place, and that's why we have the bar. I'm like, I'm not saying there can't be other bars in the universe, in the galaxy.
One bar. There's one bar in the entire galaxy.
But it just feels like you guys are literally note for note taking everything from A New Hope. It's a great feeling. That's why the movie does great. I love seeing whatever Death Theater, whatever the new planet-wide Death Star is. It's great.
Starkiller.
It blew up. It's a great feeling. We already experienced that, though. This was an opportunity to tell a new story. That's why people love, like, Knights of the Old Republic, or they like even the Star Wars Unleashed, or I think there's a new one, The Jedi Survivor, just came out.
I don't want to talk about it because I haven't gotten it yet. I'm so mad.
I haven't played anything. I just heard some reviews about it. But the people like these other things that happen. They like the power set. They like the lore. They like the setting. But so you, and they tell all these different stories that you said you loved all the expanded universe. So how many stories could they tell with all these characters? If you look at even Rebels or any of the animated stuff from the Clone Wars and whatnot, you totally could have told a completely cool, new story that paid some homage. It wasn't about blowing up a Death Star. That would have been satisfying to the fans, I felt like, and said, we're starting a new saga. We don't know what we're calling the saga because I'm making all this up in my head right now, but we're making a new saga that touches upon the old stuff.
You know what?
Thank
I actually
for
kind of
to my TED talk.
Take a breath, man.
I kind of agree with him. But you have to also look at it from when they announced Lucasfilm was being bought. What was the safest thing to do? We got to make another movie, and we got to somehow get the original characters back into the movie. It would have been I would have commended them if they did this. It would have been very brave to just come up with an original brand new idea and have no relationship to the previous six films.
Unfortunately, they did that for the next movie and it didn't work out.
That's what I'm saying. But
well, I mean, I, I think, again, a little bit with this is if you – one, I'm always impressed when you guys talk about a movie and you say it wasn't the actors, it was the script, or it wasn't the script or the actors, it was the studio involvement. I think this – because I really can't tell those things. I would say this is definitely one of those movies where the studio said we have a golden goose right here. As long as we poop something out, we will make money, and that's what we're going to do. And it just really screamed like, what is the thing that's going to make us the most money and not what's the good, best story we can tell with these characters?
Yeah. And what is has been upsetting really most about this is that obviously Lucasfilm, after Disney purchased it, George Lucas was no longer involved. It went to Kathy Kennedy. Now, Kathy Kennedy has been around in Hollywood since the 80s. She is best friends with Spielberg and Lucas. So it's not like they put someone in there
who didn't
that
had, know.
Didn't know anything about this franchise, this world. But she has been so, like, you know, just destroyed by the fact that they think that she doesn't know what she's doing, whether she does or she doesn't. But it's still a huge risk if you were to say, no, we're not going to do anything here with the Skywalkers. We're going to come up with our own original idea. That would have been brave, but again, I don't know what it would have done, how it would have won, but we didn't focus on it. But J.J. Abrams as the director, I mean, he also helped write it with Lawrence Kasdan. I just think it was a big amalgam. They were like, we got to get the old characters in. We got to come up with new characters because, you know, most likely, you know, some of the older characters are not going to be in the other ones. So how do we do this? Here we go. Oh, wait, this is literally A New Hope all over again. Yeah, well, really, what else do you want us to do here?
No, you do this as you kind of rip a page from the old thing. You have Rey is being trained by Luke at the new academy for the Jedi. He's told, I need you to do a mission for me as part of your Padawan training, or your I'm going to send you and your master to do something for me. You go visit General Organa, and we're going to help out with that part. We're going to bring balance to more and more place. And that's where you meet all your characters that way. But then you have a story. You know, that's how you fit your old characters in. You can still have Kylo Ren being the main antagonist with the First Order somewhere else. And you can still have the Finn thing with the flip over and they run into on the planet. I can help you get to the First Order base or whatnot. There is another story you could tell that includes all of these characters. Like, keep that happy ending kind of that we had at the end of Endor. And just, okay, they're kind of happy, and we'll just move them forward a bit. You know, Luke, you know, whatnot. I don't know. That's how I would make it work.
So on that note, we do have to wrap it up, unfortunately. Gentlemen, who knew Star Wars fans were so passionate? Jeez. Star City rating for The Force Awakens. Or Star Wars rating.
Aha.
Uh-huh. For The Force Awakens.
That's the number of Death Stars?
I will give... it's bigger. I will give this a 4.
Wow.
I can watch this movie, and that is always how I judge how great I enjoy a movie, is by if I can put it on, or if I see it on, I will turn it on.
All right, I'm going to go 3.5.
3.5? Yeah. Wow, right next to me.
Not really.
Yeah, really.
In a 5 system, 3.5 and 4 are not that close.
You're not that close. Brennan?
I would say if this is your first time, if your first Star Wars movie and you haven't seen the other ones, I'd say a 4 as well. If you've already seen the other stuff, I think this goes down to 3 or less. Maybe, you know, maybe like, they'll say 3 or whatnot.
Well, I will say this. If this is the first Star Wars movie you see, like if your parents, this is the first one, then bad job on them.
No, bad parenting.
Yeah, seriously. Bad parenting.
So that is going to wrap us up. We do have our Fan Feedback Friday, and it was a little bit more complex. I found a really cool graphic that I wanted to use, so I used it. And it is, which kind of Force user would you be? A Jedi, a Grey Jedi, or Sith? We have, from our friend Brendan, I don't know if you know him, BlindBat8719 on YouTube, he wrote, probably Jedi, also they should call Grey Jedi something else, so as to bring balance to the Force. It's because dark and light, you put them together, you get gray, black and white.
No, I get that, but you use the word Jedi to describe the grayness.
Because
so,
they're
like,
still good, they still do good things.
But the idea is, if your Jedi is all good, Sith are all black, you know, so you can't call me a gray Jedi. That implies they're a good person with some questionable morals.
But did you read it?
Call
yes.
It like Desi or something, some other 4-letter name for this type of organization.
You're an organization. We have 2 for gray Jedi and then 1 for the Sith. Thanks, Mike. Always got to make it weird. But if you guys want to participate in Fan Feedback Friday, it's super easy. You go to our Facebook page, Cinematic Adventures. Every Friday between 8 a.m. and 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, Fan Feedback Friday pops up. So make sure you guys participate in it. You can also find us on all the social medias, including Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, YouTube, whatever it is. Just type in The Misfit Faction or Cinematic Adventures. Odds are you'll find some of our stuff. For our friend Brendan, if you guys go on YouTube, I believe it is Blind Bat with no eye. 8719 yep. If you guys want to get your Magic the Gathering fix, or you can of course go to our website and check him out through there. But this was fun, and as always, it's always a pleasure to have Brendan on. Maybe you'll see him on an episode of MF Uncensored in 4.5 minutes. But
foreshadowing.
But that is going to wrap us up for tonight. As always, I'm Paul.
I'm Sean.
And I'm Brendan.
And we'll see you guys next time.
May the force be with you.
I knew you were going to say it.
No, you didn't.